Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Millennial Dentist Podcast. We are live from Quito, Ecuador. Well, technically, we're not live. We're recording. But we're in Quito, Ecuador. We're doing a bunch of dental work down here. And, you know, I've been wanting to, y'all know that I am obsessed with credit cards. And I've been wanting to do a credit card episode for quite a while. And it just so happened that yesterday, there was a group of us, some students, and we started talking about credit cards. And I was like, wait a second. This is the time to record this. We have an hour and a half bus ride right now to where we're doing some dental work today. Let's record. So you three introduce yourselves, because this is about to be one of the all-time top-hitting episodes of my life.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm Kelsey. I'm an incoming D3 at UTHSC.
Kelsey, do you have any credit cards?
I do.
What do you have?
Capital One Venture Card.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, perfect.
I'm Austin. I'm actually the husband of a D3 physical therapist that came along the trip to help translate with some of the Spanish speakers. But I was very intrigued in this conversation, so here I am.
And my name is Travis Bradley. I'm a freelance videographer, and I've got a credit card through my local credit union.
Nice. So this is good. We have a very diverse group of people here. And so I think this will be fun. Okay, so here's kind of how I like to start this conversation off, right, people? So ultimately, there's two ways to talk about credit cards. The first is a very basic form of why do we use credit cards? What's the point of credit cards? And then the second kind of discussion is how do we maximize credit cards to begin with? How do y'all want to take this conversation?
I'll talk about points and rewards.
Okay, so
for credit cards.
Well, let's talk about points and rewards. But before we do that, I have to make a couple kind of caveats to at least the listener before they just go out and buy all these credit cards, whatnot. So my first thing is, you don't get to have a conversation about points and credit cards and rewards and miles and all that until you are paying off your credit card every month. Right? So like, if you're not paying off your credit card every month, then you literally lose all benefit of any sort of reward. I don't care if you're getting 10% back, right? Okay. Because most of these credit cards are going to be somewhere between, you know, 8% and 15% interest. So you just don't get to have that conversation. So the first thing that I would tell you is that if you want to get into this, is you got to figure out how to pay down your credit cards, because that is not good debt and that doesn't allow you to do this. And there's never a circumstance where it's beneficial to take on the debt and not pay it off each month, just to earn the points. That's my soapbox. And we'll leave it at that. Okay. Gussie, why don't you start this off then? Tell me why you got the Capital One Ventured, when you got the Capital One Ventured, et cetera.
So my husband had it before we got married. And so he just used his, then I got added on to it. And honestly, I wasn't involved in the process when it came to trying to decide what credit card we would have. But a lot of his friends had it. They're all late 20s. And that's what everybody recommended to us. We did our research. He has a cousin that works for Capital One. So that's why we got it. And mainly we use it to buy everything. Like anything that takes a credit card, that's what we buy. We pay it off every month. And we paid for our flights to our honeymoon with our points. And that's what we do now. We're just saving up points, pay it off every month, save up points to buy flights to travel.
Sweet. Austin, which credit card do y'all have?
So we have the Discovered It card. I've had it for about 4 or 5 years now.
What's the rewards on that?
So the benefit to having the Discovered It card, there's no annual fee because it was a student card. So I got it when I was an undergrad. And then I got her one because the first year of that Discovered It card, it matches your cash back. So whatever cash back you earn, 5% in each quarter of the year.
So it's 5% cash back in quarterly rotating categories.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. And so for the whole year, you get 5% cash back. They track that and then they double it and they give it to you.
Is there a max in each quarter you can get?
I believe 5,000.
Okay.
Or 5,000
points.
Yeah, which would 500 or 250. Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, sweet. And then Travis, you said you have a credit union credit card.
Yes.
So you probably don't get any benefits.
None at all, except if I'm in a tight spot.
They can help you out or something like that. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, sweet. So the first question then you have to decide is, and here's really where I like to start this. Because there's such a plethora of options out there, I really don't like people to to me, it's better to have an idea of what you want to use rewards for before you go out and get credit cards. Okay? And so let me expound on that for a second. You know, does status matter to you? Meaning, like, do you care if you're a Delta Gold Platinum Sky Miles person or a Marriott, you know, Platinum Elite member? Or so, you know, does status matter to you? That's one question. Because some people it does. Some people want the perks of whatever that is that they have. And so that's important. The second question I ask is, what is it that you're trying to save for? Is it international travel? Is it domestic travel? Is it cash back? What is it that benefits you and you want to save for? Because in some regards, y'all, credit card points are great just because it makes you save, right? So some people like credit card points just because it's helping them save for a vacation because they're not saving money to begin with. And so they're just shucking away these points that they can only use for vacation. So it's kind of like having a vacation fund, if that makes sense. So it could be a benefit like that. Because deciding what you want really dictates the credit card route you go. If y'all had to say, what are the most common credit cards that you hear people getting, what would they be?
Discover it. Yeah, Discover It's card. All the students get that just because the annual fee is waived.
But there's a ton of cards that have annual fees.
A lot of our friends have the Delta, American Express Delta cards, because a lot of our friends live in Atlanta.
Yep, by Delta.
And then there's an Amex card that I've heard about. They now switched to it now. It's a metal card. It's not a plastic card, and it's a credit card.
Metal cards is all the rage.
Southwest, my friends in dental school have the Southwest cards.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those cards then for a second. So you have kind of two different types of cards, right? You're going to have cards that are bank specific, and then you're going to have cards that are kind of more reward specific. Now, let's take a Southwest card or a Delta card, for example. Those are kind of reward specific in that, like, they're advertised by Delta and Southwest, but then they're backed by, you know, a Chase or a Capital One or someone like that. I am a big believer that those type of credit cards are the worst credit cards that you can get. Okay. Southwest, Marriott, Delta, SPG, Hilton Honors, all those type credit cards are the absolute worst credit cards that you can get, okay? Because there's two reasons why. When we look at credit card rewards, we have to look at it from two sides. The first angle is we have to look at how can we accumulate points, all right? How do I get the points? The second way we have to look at it is how can I spend the points? That's where the Capital One Venture sucks, and we'll get there. So with a Southwest credit card or a Marriott Rewards card or a Delta card, you're only able to accumulate points based off using it on those specific things. So let's take the Southwest card, for example. And we'll kind of caveat, remind me to kind of touch base on the companion pass in a little bit, because there's some listener right now that's being a dick and he's saying, what about the companion pass? So you can only earn 1 point per dollar with those credit cards, okay? So if you have a Delta card, for example, every time you use that card, you're only earning 1 point per dollar unless you're using it to buy Delta plane flights. So that's not very effective, because the majority of our money isn't spent on plane flights. It's spent on, you know, dining, gas, groceries, movies,
diapers,
whatever, you know, Walmart, Target, clothes. That's what the majority of our spending is on a day-to-day basis. It's not spent on travel. So that's where those cards really drop the boat. Does that all make sense? Yep. Because what people will be like, oh my gosh, the Southwest credit card's great. I got a 25,000 or 50,000 sign-up bonus, and I fly a lot of Southwest. Okay, sweet. But the problem with that is your ability to accumulate points is really, really poor. Okay, and we'll talk about alternatives in a second, because that's really where it starts to come down to. Questions on that? Y'all were asking a lot more questions yesterday. Y'all getting quiet.
So she's saying, why would that be a terrible thing if they do fly a lot of Southwest and they do use Southwest quite a bit and the points do add up and they use them and they get them? And
it's not that it's a bad thing. It's that there's a way better option.
Yeah, it's not an optimization of the accumulation of points.
Exactly.
Like you're saying.
Because I'll tell you that. So let's like, for instance, every time you spend, I'm getting 3 points per dollar when you're getting your 1 point per dollar. So that's, I'm accumulating points three times as fast as you are currently. And so then it's like, okay, well, then I can spend on the same thing,
right?
And I have more flexibility than you.
And it's not like you get a discount on those flights when you're going Southwest.
Because then, so we got to talk about that for a sec, because that kind of sets us up for the next part, is that most of these companies, like a Delta or a Southwest, their point system is based off their earners' ability to accumulate points. So they kind of base, okay, what is a dollar or a point worth based off their people
that
to accumulate points. So they can only accumulate points a point per dollar on most stuff, and they're not going to accumulate points very fast.
Okay, so then follow-up.
Follow-up
question. Like, the whole point system, like, that's pretty clear to everyone? Like, they know, like, the whole 1 point for 1% or 3 points for 3% or whatever. Then what's the draw? Like, why do so many people get those cards?
So why do people get those cards when there are better options?
Yeah.
They're uninformed.
Ignorance.
They don't use their research. And I say that respectfully. I mean, I don't want to be... Because, look, I mean, part of it is Most people go off what they see on Facebook, what their friends are using, yada yada yada, or you know, or there's people selling these things, right? There's advertisements. I mean, there's a reason that people market to this stuff.
Well, that's another thing.
Advertising that makes it look so much greater if it's just 1%.
Exactly.
There is a website that you can go on and like you can compare all the credit cards. Yeah. So what are the best
like
websites?
The points guy is a phenomenal one.
Because I know there's a bunch of them.
I mean, just Google credit card points, and there's going to be like 10 websites that pop up.
Do you have a recommendation for which one's best?
The points guy is great. Any of those guys are good. They all make a living doing it.
Now, with these particular cards, how do you feel about signing up, getting that promotional reward, that one free flight, fulfilling the requirement, and then dipping out?
So now y'all are asking some good questions. Okay. So let's back up a second and talk about what influences credit card, your credit score, and why some people are very scared about credit cards, right? Biggest thing that impacts your credit score is your length of credit. When was your first credit? Dr. Penning's going to have a much better credit score probably, or an advantage on a credit score than Wes, because he's older. He's probably had a credit card a lot
shaking
longer
his head
than we.
No.
I don't know if it's fine. My point is if you've had a credit card for 10 years, your credit score is going to be better than someone who's had it for 1 year, because that's a big penalty. Because to them, to a credit company, you're not predictable, because we don't know, you don't have a very long track record.
Right.
The second thing that's the most important is, do you pay it off on time? If you don't pay it off on time, that's a big red flag.
Isn't it also a hit against your credit when you cancel a credit card?
So we're going to get to that in a second. So the next part about this is, okay, the third one is credit to usage ratio.
The utilization.
Utilization ratio. Yep. So what that means is, if I've got a credit card that has a $5,000 limit, and every month I'm putting $4,500 on it, that doesn't look good. That's not a good score. You want to keep your credit utilization about 20%, 20 to 25%.
My bank told me 30%, so that's
30%,
yeah.
Yep. Because what that does is that tells the credit company that you are not in need of credit all the time. And remember, they're looking at this from someone who's not going to, that's using credit because they need the money, not from someone who's trying to manipulate the system, which is what we're trying to do. So that gets into your question about, okay, does it hurt your credit to cancel a credit card? The answer is no. Does it hurt your credit to have too many credit cards? No. Now, every time you open a credit card, you do get a ding because you're looking for credit, and that is a ding, but that's like a 2 to 3 point ding. But if you think about it, what adding a credit card does is it increases your credit utilization ratio, because now you have more credit. Because if I've got 5 credit cards that are all $5,000, that's a total of $25,000. So if I'm only putting $10,000 a month on credit, or you know, or $2,000 a month on credit, that looks really good if I only had 2 credit cards with a $5,000 credit limit. Makes sense?
Yeah.
So the only time that canceling a credit card tends to really hurt your credit score is when it's significantly decreasing your utilization ratio to the point where now you're up to 40 to 50%. So in some instances, you could cancel a card, add a card, so you net there, you maybe take a 1 or 2 point ding for adding a new credit card, but the benefit's way bigger. Now, I will tell you the caveat before I forget to say it is that you never want to open a new credit card or seek credit when you're looking to, in the near future, of buying a house, buying a practice, all these sorts of things. You want to keep, whenever you have some big economic thing or your credit score is going to impact you, you really want to keep it pretty clean for 6 months, which means keeping your credit utilization really low, not adding in new cards, anything like that, and being comfortable from that standpoint.
And what's the advantage of that?
Just because that way you're going to have you're going to optimize your score.
Gotcha.
Your score is going to be the best it's going to be at that point. If you open up a credit card a week before you get your mortgage, there's going to be probably a 5 to 10 point ding for opening that up. That would rebound within a couple months, but not within that short time period. So when you're doing something like a mortgage, that's a 30-year interest rate potentially that we're talking about, right? So like, the amount of savings and having a good credit score for buying a house is way more important than having a good credit score for a credit card, because you know if your mortgage is $1,500 or $2,000 and your interest rate, it could be 3% with a good credit score and 4% with a bad credit score, that 1% over a 30-year time period is a significant amount of money. So you want to keep it very clean before you go into to doing that.
Yeah, totally.
Now, what was the other question that we were getting at?
So I got lost. My original question was, is there any like setback to getting the card for the promotional
turning
or
it.
Yeah, and turning it and dipping out?
So not necessarily, no. And a lot of people will do this because you only get the sign-up bonuses, and the sign-up bonuses are really a big part of the bonus system and the way credit cards work. So you can churn the card, which is what a lot of people do, where they'll get the card, they'll get the bonus, they'll cancel the card, wait a year, get the card again to get the bonus again. So you can do that. I don't do that a ton. On some things I do, like Southwest I do, and we'll explain that with the Companion Pass, but on most of them I don't, just because I kind of know the cards that I want to have, and the churning to me gets to be a little bit, well, first off, the Wild Wild West is not as wild as it once was. So back in like the early 2000s, you could churn these things like every 6 months. And so, yeah, it was super valuable to do that. Now, like Chase has this rule called the 524 rule, which basically means you can only open up 5 credit cards within 24 months. So, and then you can't open that card again for another 24 months. So they've kind of, some of these companies have set up boundaries to
reduce
you
that,
from churning
yeah.
your credit cards for points. Okay. So we've kind of covered some of the aspects that impact credit. We've covered some of the aspects of why I don't love your kind of your company-wide specific credit cards, such as a Southwest, Nordstrom, Macy's, Delta. No offense, Travis, but the bottom one would be one like I have one too. I have Pinnacle. It's terrible. Or, you know, Credit Union. Now, in some aspects, it's good to get a credit card because it's the better the reward system, the harder the credit card is to get, the higher the credit score they're going to want. So if you're someone who's got no credit, and we'll talk about some of those cards that you can get that are good early credit cards.
Startups, yeah.
You may have to get something that has no benefit just to start earning some credit so that it boosts your credit score so that you can get a better card. Yeah. That now, at this point, I will tell you that you can never cancel that credit card because that credit card really does establish a huge percentage of what your credit score is. So like me, my first card was a Pinnacle Bank credit card that has terrible rewards and I don't even use it. I basically cut it up every time I get it, but I can't ever cancel it because it establishes my start date of my credit history.
So once you cancel that, you can't.
It now resets to the next credit card.
So I had my first credit card in undergrad, which is what, six, seven years
phenomenal.
Ago. If I cancel that card, which I was thinking about doing, it then resets to my next default, which was only like 2 years ago.
Which would be a huge hit.
Right.
So that's why you can't do that. So that's why it's
good to know.
Some people are going, oh no, my first credit card is a Southwest credit card. And look, that's fine. I mean, you can't cry over spilt milk. It is what it is. But I think that you really can't cancel that first credit card for that reason. So now let's talk about let's talk a little bit about the differences in credit cards from a reward standpoint. We have cash back, international travel, and domestic travel. I will tell you that I tend to now I don't mind a lot of the cash back cards. And the reason that is because it's easy to use. They have good benefits. And so I don't mind that. Yes.
When you say cash back cards, what cards are those?
Discover It is cash back.
Discover It. That's going to be like the Chase Freedom. That's going to be like the Capital One Quicksilver, 1.5% cash back. It's going to be those type of cards. You know, that's the problem. Well, you know, and people kind of have to do the math. Like, let's take the Discover It versus the Capital One Quicksilver. Well, the Capital One Quicksilver is just 1.5% cash back unlimited. So for some people, they may say, you know what? I don't want to have to figure out what quarter is it that I get 5 times points. It's more beneficial for me just to use this credit card, pay it for everything. And literally, that's like getting 1.5% off every single thing you purchase. Like, I don't have a debit card in my wallet because I don't remember the last time I paid something with the debit card because I can get a better percentage off each time with that. So when we look at the cashback cards, the biggest benefit you can get is about 2%. That's going to be the Capital One Sparks, the business one. I'm trying to think of other ones that I forget the other 2% cash back, but your 2% cash back cards are going to be your best benefit from a cash back card. The Chase Freedom and the Discover It are they're the kind of weird outliers because they're both five points per dollar on the rotating quarterly categories, but they're capped. So that can be, you know, that, like, for instance, if you own a dental practice and you're churning $10,000 in supplies each month, the Discover It's not a very good card.
Right, because you only get half of that.
Because, well, and you're only, and none of the, it's not going to apply to any of the quarters. Like, dental supplies are going to fall into one of the quarterly things. So you're only getting 1%, 1 point back, and it may be, and I don't know if it's unlimited. Like, it may cap it each quarter. Whereas the Capital One, Spark, which is the 2% cash back card, unlimited, literally we're getting thousands of dollars back each year in cash back because of how much we're spending in dental supplies. I mean, we, you know, our supply bill is probably, I mean, we probably spend close to $150,000 to $200,000 in supplies. So if you figure what 2% of that is, that's a significant
amount back just to use their card.
Yeah, just by using a credit card.
And these companies just write you a check and you just get in the mail.
Literally, yeah, exactly.
It's just, okay.
So let me side note caveat that a little bit. If you're a business owner and you are using one of these cashback cards, you never want to take the money to your statement. The reason that is because everything you're buying for the business is tax deductible, right? It coming off the top of your taxes. So you want to pay that money with pre-tax dollars. Whereas if you take the rewards, you're not getting the benefit of that. If that makes sense. So by taking you're getting the tax benefit and then getting the cash back, it's better to do it that way. That makes sense. So that's a little caveat there. Okay, so let's talk about my favorite cards. My favorite combo of cards is, I'm a huge Chase guy. I love Chase. I love Chase. I love Chase. I think one of the number one 1-2 punch in credit card world is the Chase Freedom, which is it's a 5 points per dollar quarterly category, like the Discover It card, no annual fee, very easy to get, and the Chase Sapphire Preferred. The Chase Sapphire Preferred is what we kind of call a tier two or three card. So it's a little harder to get, and it has a $99 annual fee. Now, some people are like, oh no, I can't have this annual fee. Well, let's talk about the benefits of the card and why it's worth the fee. The Chase Sapphire Preferred is 2 points per dollar on all travel. So Southwest, Delta, Marriott, Hilton, Ritz-Carlton, trains, taxis, any travel, you're 2 points per dollar. So again, this goes back to when we compare that to, say, a Discover card, let me get to Venture in just a second. My ability to accumulate points is basically a lot higher than yours. But wait, there's more. It's also 2 points per dollar on all dining. From McDonald's to Ruth Chris to, you know, everything in between, you're getting 2 points per dollar on all dining. So all dining and all travel, I'm getting 2 points per dollar on. That's a significant amount of points. Okay, so now let's take someone who has a Southwest credit card who's only earning 1 point per 2 points per dollar on Southwest. My ability to accumulate points is significantly greater than you. So I'm accumulating them at a faster rate.
But can you use those points for anything?
So that's, gosh, you're killing it. Great question. So that becomes then the big question is, and this is where this credit card destroys all the other credit cards and why I'm a huge believer in having that combo. Because the Freedom itself is just a cashback card. Those points can only be redeemed for cash. That's good, but that's not great value, just like the Discover It. If you have the Sapphire Preferred or one of their elite cards, you can pull all those points up from the Freedom up to the Sapphire. So they're all held in this bucket. And then they can be transferred one-to-one to Southwest, Marriott, SPG, United, which is Star Alliance. So that's Lufthansa, South African Airways, you know, you name the amount of airlines that are affiliated with Star Alliance. Now, all my points can be transferred one-to-one to any of these airlines.
So I had 20,000 Southwest points, and you have 20,000 Chase Preferred.
Which is basically 20,000 anything, you know, not anything, but a huge.
But it's also 20,000 Southwest.
Exactly.
Points.
You get more bang for your buck.
Way more bang for your buck. And so again, I'm accumulating. Think about how quickly I can accumulate 20,000 points versus how quickly you could accumulate them.
So that Southwest card, you can't go buy. Southwest credit card, you can't go buy McDonald's and get the points for
you
a
can
flight.
You can. You just get.
It's just
1 point per dollar
instead of two.
I'm getting 2 points per dollar.
Got
so
it.
I'm literally accumulating them at double the rate you are.
And I can only use it for Southwest flights.
And you're completely strapped in what you can use. Exactly.
Yeah. Are you saying you should have both the Freedom and the
Yes.
The Sapphire? You should, because you can get the
so
points
here's
from
why.
The Freedom.
So let's talk about the Freedom. That was a good point. I didn't say that. The Freedom, the quarterly categories are usually 5 times on gas, 1 quarter, groceries, 1 quarter, Amazon, another quarter, dining,
that's
another quarter.
Yeah, that's the same for Discover.
Whatever. Yeah, it's very similar cards. So then I know that, okay, so now not only am I ordering 2 points per dollar on all dining and all travel, but now I'm ordering 5 points per dollar on maybe groceries 1 quarter, or maybe it's gas 1 quarter. And all those points are then being rolled up to the preferred where they can now be distributed out
Do
everywhere.
You have to be diligent enough to say, I need these points up, or does it automatically
No, yeah,
do
you
it?
Have to move them, but you can. It's a click of a button. You just transfer them. It's easy to do.
Got it.
You can transfer them whenever between you, and you can transfer them one time within someone within your household.
And there's no penalty for that transfer.
Okay.
But it probably wouldn't be the best idea for somebody like me that's busy with school. I don't keep up with what quarter I need to spend on groceries or gas. Like, if I just want one card to spend all my money on for everything, would you just get like the Sapphire Preferred?
I would still just get the Sapphire Preferred. But then I would be like, why would you? I would tell you, okay, that's fine.
Because how often do you have to look at that? They'd be like, this quarter I need to spend money.
It's 4 times a year. It's not that hard. It's 5%.
That 4 months goes by so fast.
But think about it. Okay, think about this. But you got to put it in perspective, though, because think about it this way. If it's 5% on groceries, 5 points per groceries, that means every time you check out, you are saving yourself 5%.
Kind of like the Target card, but...
So think about, like, if taxes are 9%, you're basically cutting your taxes in half.
Yeah.
So to me, it's worth figuring out...
It's worth looking at the quarterly what I need to spend my money on. Okay.
Yes. So, like... Reaper her
question. Okay. So Leah said, basically, so for her, she's a student as well at D3. She only spends money on herself. So will she be spending enough money to be able to get the rewards from these credit cards?
Of course. So it's... So part of it is... For these bonuses, it's always going to be, typically it's going to be $35,000 to $4,000 in the first 3 to 4 months. Okay, so yes, you do want to time it up to where you got to say, you know, okay, because I get it. When your budget for currently where you're at is not a lot per month, you do want to make sure that you can qualify for the bonus. That's really the only time it matters. On your month to month, it's all relative because it's a percentage, right? So whether you're putting $10,000 on a card or $1,000 on a card, you're still getting the same percentage back. You're just not benefiting quite as so much as someone.
But will I be making enough to pay that annual fee and still be making?
So with the $99, typically yes. Part of that is too, there's other benefits. Like with that card, you can get free TSA pre-check, which is $50. So like, okay, for instance, that's a nice benefit. So then you just redeem that. So
which one is this?
49, the Chase Sapphire Preferred.
But as a student, do you have enough, you know,
how much do your supplies cost?
$5,000 a semester, typically.
Okay, so that's $10,000 right there.
So is that enough money, though, to get card?
So 10,000, so let's just do the math here. So if it's 10,000 points, because that's going to be point per dollar, and... This is kind of tricky. Let's say there's 10,000 points plus you're going to get the bonus from initially getting it. So which is let's not include the bonus. Let's be super low. Let's say it's 10,000 points. If you what is a one-way flight typically on Southwest cost with points?
Wherever you're going, it's usually like a couple $100.
Let's say typically what I find is I'll see that you got somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500 is going to be somewhere between 10 and 15,000 points. So if I've got 10,000 points, that's probably a Southwest flight that's easily over $100, then just by buying your supplies, you've covered the $99 annual fee. So now, not counting the bonus, which you get, which is 50,000 points, which is that's like a lot of points, and all the benefit you're going to get from spending it on dining and any other travel you do, it's going to benefit. So typically the $99 one, you will. Now... my wife has the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is the tier higher than preferred. It's a $450 a year card, but you get a $300 travel voucher. So your first $300 in travel is free. Literally, it just applies to your statement. So right, so now it's more like a $150 card. You can get global entry, which is a little more expensive, and it's 3 points per dollar on all travel and all dining. So for us, we're accumulating now at three times the rate you're accumulating. So then you can start to see, okay.
So how do you know, like, if you and your wife are out to dinner, you'd be like, oh, well, what card do we use to get the best?
It can get a little confusing when you have three cards, whatnot. But so for us, you have what, and what most people would benefit from is either is going to be the Chase Sapphire Preferred and the Chase Freedom. That's a phenomenal credit card combo. If you've got the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is the big daddy, there's no reason to have the Preferred.
Yeah.
It's the exact same credit card, just better benefits.
I thought, though, if it's a higher tier card, you had to have more of a better credit background on that to get it. So as a student, if we don't have that,
you're not going to be able to get that card.
You probably can't get them.
But you should, most likely, if some of y'all have had a credit card before and you're paying loans, you can probably get the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And that's a good card to get. So the big kicker with these cards and why I love Chase is their ability to transfer to their partners. Because again, if we talk about what the partner's ability to accumulate points is much lower, I can accumulate mine much higher, that's where the big benefit is. That's where the Capital One sucks, the venture card, because you're earning 2 points per dollar on everything. So in theory, that looks really, really good, right? Whether you eat out, whether you dine, whatever, you're earning 2 points per dollar. So that's good. The problem is that you have to use Capital One's the venture's portal to buy flights or hotels. Make sense? So you have no sort of idea what the value of what you're paying for is because you're not buying it directly from the person, right?
If you get a Delta flight, you're not buying it from Delta.com.
You're buying it through Capital One Venture. So, and through their portal. So the problem with that is their flights are now inflated and their hotels are, like, the flight on Capital One Venture is more expensive than the flight is on Delta.com.
Or cheapoflights.com.
Right. So now you're paying an inflated price. So you're really good at accumulating points, but you're not getting a lot of value using the
points. Got it. I did not know.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So next time you're gonna look at a flight or you're gonna buy a flight, whatever, look at what and Capital One Venture will show you this. They'll show you to buy this flight on our website. It's $450. To get that flight, it's going to cost you X amount of points. Then do the math and look at it on the actual partner website and see what sort of percentage of point to dollar ratio you're getting. Okay? Because if you're getting, you know, 1 or 2% ratio, that's not very good. You know, on like when we flew to South Africa, and we transferred to all our points to United and then to South African Airways and Ethiopian Airways, we were getting like 10 to 12% per point, like a huge increase in value for points there. So that's where I don't love the Capital One Venture.
Yeah. So I guess I think it works for us a lot of the times is because we're a single income, you know, my husband, I'm a student. And so we basically use that to save for travel, like what you're talking about earlier. That's like when we know we have this many points, we can get a flight. It's going to be more expensive. We're going to use more points. But also it takes like all the brain work out of it. Like I don't have to think about, oh, like what's the best points for my value. But I'm also like a student. My brain's always on school. And so but I think you make a good point. You know, if you have to go through the venture portal,
For someone like you, because to me, you're kind of either worth doing it or you should get a cashback card.
Okay.
Make life super easy. Get the Capital One Quicksilver.
So easiest
1.5% cashback and be done with it.
So easiest for a student that doesn't want to think about it, cashback.
Yeah, because the Capital One Quicksilver has no annual fee. It's 1.5% cashback. Super easy.
Okay.
Because then it's like, I mean, that's where I get so baffled on people who don't use credit cards and just pay with debit cards is you literally are, all you're doing is paying with a different piece of plastic and you're getting 1.5% off on everything.
And this is really important for dental students, I feel like, because your first semester, D1 year, you're paying $5,000 or more for a dental kit. And so if you're a dental student and you have a credit, you put on a credit card, you're getting, and you pay on your debit card, you're not going to get anything from that. But if you put on your credit card, you're going to get so many benefits from that. So it's really important for, I mean, I've paid every kit with a dental, with a credit card.
Well, and what would be smart, the really smart thing to do would be to, because again, people get, they see that and they're like, oh, I got to get a credit card. I'm going to get, you know, whatever it is that's where you got to look at the bonuses and seeing what credit card has the best bonus right then. Because I will tell you, 50,000 points, a 50,000 point signup bonus with like the cap, with like the Sapphire Preferred is way more valuable than a
American Airlines 40,000 mile flight.
That, or what was the bonus when, like what's the, I think the Freedom was like a, you got like $200 cash back in the first 3 months if you spent so much. So like the 50,000 points is way more valuable than $200 cash back. So you kind of have to start to look at from that angle of, okay, what is, but again, this is where I go back to the very beginning kind of thing that I was saying. I think the people who utilize it the best have some sort of idea of what they want. Because like what you just told me is you use it for travel. So it is worth it to you then to not have a cashback card, because I will tell you that if the cashback's 1.5, I'm getting 8. So 7.5% or 6.5% is worth a little more research.
Yeah.
You're smart.
Yeah, of
than
course.
Then because that's because especially international travel.
Yeah.
Because cashback's the lowest percentage. Domestic travel goes up a little more. International travel is where you get the most bang for your buck. International higher class travel is where you get the absolute most bang for your buck.
For any card.
For any card. It's yeah. anything. Because what a first class ticket to Rome costs is like $5,000. Well, that may be only 120,000 points. So your 0.2 dollar ratio there is insane.
Yeah.
So you're getting really, really, really good value.
And that's for the Chase.
That's really for any card. Okay. But yes. So the reason I love Chase is the primarily reason is their ability for their points to transfer one to one to a lot of partners. Only big negative to the Chase, and I go back to one of those first things I said earlier, is that you're not gonna earn status. So because all my points are transferring one to one, they don't count towards like Southwest A, what is it called?
Like where you get like the early boarding
or like Delta Gold or Delta
Sky Pro,
the Sky Miles Club,
yeah, or Marriott like Platinum Elite. Like I'm not going to get any of that because I'm not spending. Now if I it does help there. Like if I buy a Marriott hotel, I get the Marriott points, right? Because I'm purchasing the hotel, and I get my Chase points. So when I buy a hotel at Marriott, I'm getting points that it costs for me to buy it with Marriott, and I'm getting 3 points per dollar on my Chase card. So I'm getting like, which I could then transfer back to Marriott and use as Marriott points if I wanted to. But the only points that are going towards status are the ones that I'm from purchasing the hotel.
Now you said this Chase cards. They only do, it's United for other airlines. You said
I'd have to look it
like
up.
Little things, but not Delta.
So Delta is Delta, British Airways. And KLM. They're a super little unique one. Delta, I will tell you, has their point system has gotten really, really hard. Like it is because Delta is such a huge, huge business airline that it is very, very hard to, like, you don't get a lot of bang for your buck with miles on Delta. That's just kind of the way it is. Now I see the benefit if you live in Atlanta and that's the only airline you fly, but still I still like the Sapphire Preferred because you're still getting the 2 points per dollar on Delta. Okay. But now it's giving you more flexibility because here's the problem. You're a dental student. You are never going to, if you have the Delta card, you're never going to spend enough on that card to earn enough to get the status that really makes a difference. And that's just the reality. I mean, there's too many people spending too much, way crazy amounts of money on these things, flying tons of Delta.
Well, you got those business people that have to go twice a week
down to LA from Florida,
you know.
Whereas, you know, other airlines, it's just not as hard to get that. So
we get you love Chase. What's the equivalent to this Duo, or is it the only thing in the market that has the Duo? Like, what other companies, because if it's so good, you would think other companies would buy into that model. And
well, the problem is Chase's relationship with all the partners. That's the thing. Some other ones do transfer back and forth. I don't know all of them. It's a good thing to look into. I want to say that Hilton and I don't know what it is. Hilton transfers with somebody. You know, different ones will transfer back and forth between the partners. That helps you and gives you good value. You know, I think some of the cards that are enticing to me lately are like, you know, at some point, when does the Amazon card become good enough to have it? I mean, if it's 5 points per dollar, or maybe I think it's 3 points per dollar on all Amazon. Well, like, we're getting to the point where Caroline and I order a lot on Amazon, you know, almost to the point where it's like, at what point do we start? Because the negative we're having now is almost all our travel is work related. So we're accumulating points like crazy, but now they're all my flights are business deductions. So like flight to Ecuador, why would I pay money and pay the tax? Like, why would I use points when I could get a tax deduction by paying for it? And the tax deduction is really important for me because that's a significant percentage.
Oh, at the end of the year.
Right. So getting to write off the $1,500, that's more of a like, you know, that's getting into the, you know, just think about a tax bracket now. If you're in 20%, 30%, whatever tax bracket you're in, that's what you're saving on those dollars. That's way more value than
the 5%
and,
or
like you don't want to use a free flight, you know, you just deduct it from your
tax. Why use a free flight when you could pay for the flight, which saves you more money than you're actually.
But for the person who doesn't have the opportunities for those,
off,
then yeah.
Huge. Very, very, very lucrative to do it that way. Because travel is one of the most expensive things then for you.
Let's say you already have one of these baseline cards from like Discover or something that might be similar to the Freedom. It might be better to look in to see if they have something that's like the Sapphire or Preferred or Reserve. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think they do though. I'll tell you what Discover has that's...
But it's worth looking to see if they do before
for sure.
Like canceling it off and then going and...
But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't cancel your card. So like let's take Discover. There's nothing wrong with that card. I would even probably still... You could still use the quarterly categories.
Right, and get the 5%.
I would just, because there's two types of people, right? There's one person who's going to get, they'll want to get one or two credit cards, and there's other people who'll be like, okay, this is way sweet. That's kind of how I was. Let's maximize it. Well, you're going to have like five or, like Caroline has like six credit cards, and I have like six credit cards. So like total, we have like 12 to 15 credit cards.
Which is good for utilization, is good for, the
link
to stay.
Credit scores are insane.
Right.
Yeah, and we get tons of points. We get tons, because that's how, ultimately, what this started with was we said, okay, we're going to go to Italy. And I want Italy to, we want to fly business class to Italy and I want to do it for free. So I said, okay, I Googled what is the best credit cards for international business class travel. And it gives you basically, okay, to fly to Italy, you have a couple options from the state. You can use British Airways, which is going to be a British Airways card or a Delta card, something like that. Or you can fly Lufthansa, which is what we ended up flying, which is the German airline, or a couple of different airlines through Chase's thing. So what I did was I opened up the Chase Sapphire Preferred. That was 50,000 bonus points. She opened up the Chase Sapphire Reserve. At the time, that was a 100,000 point sign-up bonus when it first came out. That's 150,000. I opened up the Chase Inc. Business, which is a 60,000 point sign-up bonus. So that's,
110,000 for you, and then 210 for your wife.
Yes. Well, she did the
150.
She did this. So we're basically 210 combined. We both opened up the Freedom, which would end up being another like 30,000 each when you converted them to points. So we're at 60,000. So literally overnight, we went from 0 points to like 280,000 points. And 320,000 was all we needed to get to get two round trip business flights for free. So that's why it's good to kind of have an idea of what you want to get, because
then you can go get
the
bonus.
To get, because the bonuses are where you really can accumulate points. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to try to use that as a segue and ask a question that perhaps some of our retractors are thinking. I worked for a convenience store for a small window and I learned a lot about rewards. It was all in-house stuff, but I remember explicitly one day somebody cashing in on those rewards and it made their day. Yeah. And I didn't mean to be a jerk about it, but I just looked at them and was like, well, I'm glad you're happy, but you know, the house always wins. And they just stared at me and then they left. And you know, all these rewards programs, they're great. But they wouldn't exist if somebody on the other side of the fence wasn't benefiting.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's kind of sad in theory, because you're exactly right. I mean, the better the rewards are, the more someone's getting screwed.
Yeah. So what I, the question I'm building up to, though, is somebody like me can easily get caught up in the flow of the rewards program. Right. And suddenly I'm buying this like premium quality milk and diapers and stuff that I'm like, I don't even have a kid at home. But like, if I buy diapers this month,
more points probably. Yep.
I'm that guy.
Well, that's why you have to just be like, okay, take a step back. Why are you spending your money? And just,
yeah. I mean, my first thing I would say is like, you don't get a seat at the credit card point table until I know that you're paying off your credit card every single month.
And you can manage your money.
Because if you're not doing that, which you're not managing money, it is all a waste. The second thing is that I also am a big believer in paying it off immediately. So whenever we were first really getting into this, and we were like in dental school, and did not have a ton of money, we would as soon as we bought something, we would pay it off like that day, because I wanted my balance on my debit card account, my checking account, to be as close to net and trued up with my credit card as it could be, because I didn't want to get all of a sudden my credit card get up to like $6,000-$7,000 and I've only got $1,000 on my checking account, and it's like, crap, every single point I've earned for the last 2 years was a waste because I just blew it on the amount of interest I'm going to get in 1 month of not paying off the credit card. So you make a phenomenal point of there is a huge emphasis on not getting cut, and look, it's, you're still spending money. So it's not, you don't want to spend more money to get more points. You want to maximize what you're already spending to get the most rewards. Yeah. So there are people getting screwed every day because they get these things and they get the sign up bonus and then they don't pay off their credit cards. And yeah, that's why the house does always win. But I will tell you, the house is winning less because the benefits are getting not as good. Which would be the only reason they would be doing that. It's not as competitive. And second of all, we are always winning if you're taking advantage of it appropriately.
Yeah, because the other side of that coin is there's going to be somebody that gets caught up in the capacity of what their limit is. And when they see that high number available, they use it without thinking, or they use it on impulse and they don't have the funds to pay it off. And there's a 25% APR on it each month. You mean?
So the thing is, your trip to Italy. Me and my husband, the goal is when I graduate, we're going to Italy to celebrate.
Perfect.
So
you have a goal.
We have, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so that's the plan. We're going to Italy.
Sure.
And we have only Capital One Venture. That's the only car we have. So basically, I should open a Sapphire Preferred if I can.
Yeah.
I probably can.
So the first thing.
You
can. Of course you can. If you've got the Capital One Venture, you can get Sapphire Preferred. Those are like the same tier level cards.
And I should get one of those cards to pay for dental kits from here on out.
You should both get one of them, so you both get $50,000.
Both of us get one.
You both get whatever, and then one of you could cancel, so you have to pay for the annual fee the next year, and then you could.
So that wouldn't mess up our credit. That way we just got
figure
that out.
So the first thing that I would do is I would look at is knowing that you want to start to look at the bonuses, because, and then you want to kind of Google like the Sapphire Preferred. That bonus is going to range anywhere from 30,000 to 60,000 points based off the promotion, the time of the year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you want to like the Southwest credit card, and like some times of the year, it's 50,000 or 60,000 points. Other times of the year, it's 20,000 or 25,000. So getting it at the right time of the year, there's benefit to that. So starting to look at that and saying, okay, currently it's at 40 and they say it varies from 40 to 60. So maybe I should wait or see like this is, you know, Google, is there one coming, or all these bloggers know all this stuff and, you know, are enlightening. But yeah, starting to figure that out. Then you need to work backwards. You need to figure out, you can Google again, all this on these websites. How much does a round trip international flight from America to Italy cost using Chase points? On economy, it's going to be 80,000 a piece. So it's going to be it's 60,000 a piece. It's going to be 120,000 points.
So what is that like dollar amount? Like if you have like 80,000 points, like how much money is that? Do we know?
So that, well, it depends on what time of the year you buy it. So that's the whole beauty about being able to transfer them to the partner, is you could get these things on sale. So then you're getting even, that's why international is so much, that's why you get so much more bang for your buck on international, because those flight prices vary so much more than a domestic flight does. Like a flight on from Nashville to Dallas is going to kind of cost always between, you know, $300 basically. Whereas a flight from Nashville to London could be $500 or it could be $2,500. Yeah. So if I can use points and buy that when it's $500, that is an insane amount more bang for your buck.
Because it's still international travel.
Because, right? because it's costing you less points. Because it's cheaper.
And you're going further.
Because it's like you're getting that $1,200 flight for $500.
Exactly. And that's why international higher class is even more, because an international first class ticket could be like $12,000. But it may only cost what would be the equivalent of say a $2,000 worth of usage of points. So that's a ton of bang.
Okay, so Jules sitting here, another D3, has a question. She has the Capital One Venture card like me, and she was saying if you open the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and you have these Capital One Venture points that you've already accumulated, can you you can't use them together, those points?
But what you can do is, no. But because it's not all that. When you go to Italy, you're going to have to pay for flights, and you're going to pay for your hotels. And you're going to travel around. So maybe in Florence, you use your Capital One Venture points to buy your hotels in Florence.
Okay. So you can use Chase Sapphire Preferred for things. And then.
Yeah, like my wife had a ton of SPG points from when she was in consulting. So she traveled all the time. So like we bought all our flights with Chase points, and we stayed in all Westins because that was SPG. So we used all her points up from her previous stuff with SPG, that credit card or whatnot. On hotels.
Okay, so after you cancel a card,
like, but I wouldn't cancel it.
Points before you cancel your card?
Yeah, if you once you cancel the card, you lose the points.
Okay.
Some cards, not all. I think the reward, like a Southwest card, I don't know. I would check that. But my thing is, there's no reason to cancel the card.
So let me ask you this:
because a lot of these cards will do anniversary deals, like on your 2-year anniversary or 5-year anniversary, having the card. They'll give you 20,000 points when you spend. So then that would be like, oh, well, let's use the Capital One Venture for the next 2 months to get the bonus so we get our 20,000 points.
Let me ask you this. I'm about to buy a house since I just graduated. So that's like the next thing on my list. I also have 4 credit cards. My wife has 2. But
what are your other credit cards? You never told me.
Wells Fargo. It's terrible.
Ones. Yeah.
Capital One, Buy Power Card. And there's one more. Yeah, Target. but anyway,
it's okay. My worst one was I got a Home Depot card to do 6 months financing on a fridge.
Yeah,
I kill myself. I won't cancel it just because I want to remind myself every day of how stupid the
terrible mistakes you made.
Yeah, the mistakes of
right out of dental school. I needed to buy our fridge. Went out and needed a fridge, and I was like, oh, I'll just do 6 months financing on this fridge and get the credit card. What a stupid decision.
Yeah. Why would you say that was?
You know, if you didn't have the money to do it. It wouldn't necessarily be a stupid decision, but then I would tell you there's buy a used fridge. It costs less money that you could afford, pay cash for it, or open up a card that would, because if I say with a credit card, you've got 30 days to pay it. So, then within that 30 days, I could have paid it off. That gets into a cash flow discussion of cash now versus cash later and the value of that. And it was just, at the time, I probably could have, within 30 days, I could have paid for the fridge. Or we didn't need to get the fridge we got. Like, the fridge didn't need to,
talk to you.
Put my food together and, and kiss me when I was, getting my food out.
And play DirecTV.
Yeah, exactly. So, it didn't need to, bring my water to, count how many ounces of water I was getting out or something, So, I could have got a cheaper fridge.
So I'm looking at canceling. I'm not going to cancel my first one. Do the advice of that would really taint my.
I would not cancel anything until you got your house.
Okay.
If you're serious about getting a house in the next 6 months, I would do nothing.
Okay. So yeah, that answers the question, because we're also looking to put a card on her to get her points. We're going to buy her kids on credit cards, so we just keep it on the existing.
I'd probably just keep it on the existing ones. Again, the house, only because the house. Are y'all planning on staying in Memphis? So then, only because the house. The impact that your credit score could have on your interest rate is a way bigger impact than a credit score.
Okay. She's asking, what's the drop-off? What's the ding you hit when you get inquired for the house? Get the hard inquiry. Will you look for the mortgage? How long does that last?
It depends. It depends on if you've got a pretty significant solid credit history. And, for me, it would probably be less just because I've got so many credit cards and I've got a house loan and I've got a practice loan. Yep. We got these loans, all these loans and crap. It adds up.
Add to accounts.
But if you've got one other credit card, then yes. You know,
so between us, we have, I think, 14 accounts is what we get when they go run the credit score. It's a 14 account with the history of 7 years. So, I mean, it's not like we just started, but they're all...
It wouldn't hit you too much, but still, five points could matter. Because if say the cutoff for a premium interest rate is 750, and opening that credit card takes you from a 751 to a 746, that could be a half... That could be like a... You know, a quarter, the difference between 0.1% and 0.2%. That 0.1% can be a big difference on a house over the next couple of years.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be worth it. It wouldn't be worth the $100 that you made off buying your kid with a new car.
Yeah.
Let's kind of wrap this up and recap it to kind of pull a lot of this together. I think the first thing, which Travis, you made a good point, is you really got to understand the importance of what credit's used for. That just buying points to get the points is not great. That you got to pay off your credit card first. You know, we can go even back further and say, like, you know, I think that's why it's important to have some sort of emergency fund, because if you've got an emergency fund and you get to the end of the month and crap, well, I messed up this month with my credit card. Now you're not having to eat it. You just pay it off and you've learned a lesson and now you got to refund your emergency fund, you know? That's really important. The next thing I would tell you is I think it's important to understand what you want to accumulate points for. And y'all are a prime example because of having a goal. When you have a goal, you can be so much more efficient with what the cards you're getting, opening them, how to do it, that sort of thing. Just because you can literally Google best credit cards to get to Italy, and you're going to get blogs on what to do. And the other part of that is that understanding that there's two parts of rewards. There's the accumulation of points and the usage of points. Some cards are better at accumulating and some cards are better at utilizing the points. And then looking at the difference between cashback cards and rewards and miles cards and that sort of thing. Those are kind of the big things that you have to decide between. And for some people, it's just simple cashback card. For others, it's going to be, you know, I never fly international. So it's going to be more beneficial to get a card that would benefit them domestically. If you live in the Northeast, maybe a Southwest card isn't like something that transfers to Southwest isn't beneficial. But for a lot of us, where Southwest is a really popular domestic flight now. I mean, so the ability of Chase to transfer one-to-ones out of Southwest is really, really beneficial. And that's pretty much what I fly everywhere for the most part, unless it's international like this. The only caveat to that I'll wrap up with is the companion pass, which is the creme de la creme of credit card rewards value. And basically what the companion pass is, for those of you who don't know, if y'all don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so get ready to get your mind blown.
Uh-oh.
So Southwest does this car, this promotion called the Companion Pass. And basically what that means is if you earn 110,000 points in a calendar year, then you get to assign a companion that flies free with you on every flight that you take within the rest of that calendar year and the following calendar year. So literally every time you buy a ticket, she gets a free ticket. Depending on how much you fly and whether, you know, if you could utilize Southwest a lot, it can be an insanely valuable card because if you know that, hey, there's a good chance we need to fly six times this year on Southwest. If she can fly for free all six times, that's pretty sweet.
So you need 110,000 points in 1 year.
In 1 year.
And for 2 years, the rest of that calendar year. So if you get 110,000 points in February.
You're going to do well. You have the potential to do well at this because you're getting
the rest of the year and the next year, you get free tickets. For the companion.
For the companion, it's free tickets.
And 110,000 points probably isn't that much. It probably is a lot of money, probably not that much.
So here's then the kicker. So some people will get, and this is where I will get, and I just, it's funny because people think they're being so smart, but they're being so dumb. And that's when, if someone gets the Southwest credit card and they are going to spend enough money to get the 110,000 by doing that, they have negated any sort of benefit they're getting. Because in order to get 110,000 points, you either have to spend $110,000.
Oh, okay.
Or,
just kidding.
Or you got to like do double the points with Southwest. So now typically when you get a Southwest card, you can catch on a 50,000 point sign-up bonus.
So don't you get a sign-up bonus?
So So you're getting there. So what people will do is they'll get the 50,000 point sign up bonus, and then they all got to do is get 60,000. So they'll put everything on the Southwest credit card.
But that's $60,000.
And then typically they're not going to get till it to the end of the year, because it could take them a long time to get there. So now they're only getting it for 1 year. And it cost them a lot of money to get it. Think about how much more value all that money could have been if it was on a Chase card that could have been transferred one-to-one. So So that is a terrible way to get the companion
pass. And you're probably not going to spend $60,000 on those 12 flights.
Exactly. You know, what you've spent to accumulate it, they gated any sort of benefit. The other benefit to it, though, or the way you do it, the appropriate way to do it, is that you get two Southwest credit cards. You get the Southwest personal card and the Southwest business card, which each have 50,000 points. Now I got 100,000 points. Now all I got to do is spend 10,000 and then you got it.
So you can do the Southwest business, Southwest personal, and combine those two.
So then the ideal way to do this is you get the cards in December of, let's say December of 17 or 18. Okay. So you wait till December of 18, you get the cards. Now you got to spend, obviously it'll be way harder for y'all than it will for me, because I got supplies that I could put on. But in theory, if it was like me, what we did is I put basically $10,000 worth of supplies the first month on the cards distributed between the two cards. Now, when my statement hits like January 3rd, all the 110,000 points hit. Now I have it for literally 2 years.
So it's not fiscal year. It's
when the points hit. So some people will, and so there's a little strategy there, because you don't want to do it like, you could do it as little as like late November and get it like January 2, January 3. But then you're banking on if your statement hit like December 31st with 109,000 points. They reset January 1, so you literally just would have like, all for nothing. So I think I did it where like they hit on like January like 15th or 12th. Like I was like, I want to make sure it's conservative enough that I'm not cutting it close.
But then you've opened two other credit cards.
Yeah, but to have a free ticket for 2 years, and remember this too, what we're not counting is you also just earned 110,000 points. So for my first six flights, or seven flights, they're free, and she flies free. So whether you're paying,
because you had all those points for you to get free flights,
because I had to get the 110,000 points, and she flies free whether I pay for it or use points on mine. So for the first 5 to 6 flights, we're both flying free.
Remind me this in 2 years when I have a job.
So the companion pass, if done correctly, is the creme de la creme and is phenomenal. But it only if done that way.
Yeah, because you can't justify spending $80,000 with the sole purpose of getting a free flight for a year or two.
So now what we do, so this is a card we churn. So what Caroline does is, Caroline, we had the companion pass last year. So she got both credit cards. We got the companion pass for 2 years. It expired this year. So this year we haven't had it. I will probably get it. I was also kind of backlogged in the 524 rule with Chase, because it's a Chase card. I will get both of them probably this December. So then starting in January, we'll have it again for 2 years. By the time I expire, she'll be re-upped to get it again, so she can get it again. So in theory, you could, with two people, you could leapfrog it to where you pretty much always have the companion pass.
But she doesn't have the practice. I mean, I guess, could you
use her card
on your practice? Okay.
Just think about it.
Hey, honey, I need the card.
Just think about it. You can put in an authorized user, and all that money still counts towards the
So how's that work with you in tax write-off with your supplies?
So you're still... You get the deduction. That's the benefit. You're still paying for, I'm still paying for it, and then I'm paying the credit card off with our checking account. So you're still getting all the benefit of the tax deduction.
So at this whole time, we've pretty much been bashing the Southwest card. But if you get both of them combined together,
so that's what's interesting. So the Southwest card sucks in complete its entirety, unless you're going for the companion pass.
Got
it. In which case, it's debatably the best. It's the most, the creme de la creme of credit card rewards.
Got it. So if you're a single student, not a good credit card
terrible
for you.
Card. Yeah. Yeah. If you're single, because why do you need a companion?
Yeah. Married but, with a practice.
Yeah, you take your die. But it's a good card otherwise. I mean, but when you're doing that, it's a good card.
Wow. Yeah. Mental note, 2 years from here.
Mind blown.
Mind blown.
This has been pretty fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Completely overwhelmed?
No.
No.
All right.
No.
I feel like I have a path to go on now.
I give you a lot of credit for this.
It's a lot of time and energy, but anyways, All right. Any other questions?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining. Oh, one more question.
Oh, wait. Never mind. Leah.
So, say when I get back from Ecuador, I want to get the Chase Freedom and the Sapphire Preferred.
Yep.
Can I just go apply for both of them?
So let's check the bonuses. Let's see what they are. And then, yes. Okay, so let me tell one little secret caveat, too. A lot of times when you are borderline credit score for a tier 2 or 3 card, like the Chase Sapphire Preferred.
What is that typically? Do you know?
No, probably if you're in the low 700s, you're probably a borderline. They're going to put your review on pending. And what that means is they're going to basically analyze your stuff. Someone else is going to, not like a computer, and they're going to get back with you in 2 weeks. They have a hotline that you can call to expedite this and basically talk your way into it, so to speak. So, like, I had to do this just a couple of weeks ago because we're doing a remodel on our house, and so I wanted to pay everything with a credit card. So I needed to get my credit card limit raised to like 30 grand so that I could put all our doors and windows on it. So they didn't just initially want to give it to me. So you call the hotline and they're going to ask you a couple of questions. What's your income? You know, what's your whatever? And you can kind of, you know, you want to be optimistic.
But when you're a student, you say, I have no income. Student loans.
Right. But you could say that, you know, you've got a lot of supplies that you're putting stuff on and that you're a dentist.
You're going to spend a lot of money.
A dental student and yada, yada, yada. And they also will associate the income that your spouses have. You know, so there's ways to do it, but you want to make yourself look as beautiful as possible.
You want to turn their eyes green.
Yes. And typically when you do that, they will approve you on the spot and you'll be fine. Because a lot of people, when they're borderline, won't end up getting approved. But if you're proactive with it, I've very rarely seen people not get approved by calling the hotline number.
So I think our supplies, you have to pay for them, like, what, July 2nd? Like the first $1,000, 10%. And then the rest you can put on later. So you can probably get back, apply for the cards, and then pay for whatever, the first 10% on whatever credit card you have now. And then the remainder on the Chase card once you get it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And it may be hard to get both of them right out of the gate, too. They may be like, you know, we don't want you to get. So then, you know, typically I like, if I had to have one, I'd rather the Sapphire Preferred, but the Freedom is going to be way easier to get. And I would just accumulate those points and save the points until you get the Preferred. So then you can roll them up. Because your only usage of them at that stage is going to be cash back, which is not very good value. So I would then wait until you're able to get the Sapphire Preferred, because then they could all roll up.
Nice. Good question, Leah.
Good question. All right. Well, we're going to go shuck some teeth, do some fillings. Everybody, work smarter, not harder. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.